you're here. Thank God for our opportunity to be here and worship Him. I invite your attention to God's Word. In a moment, we will be studying some things concerning redemption, as Brother Taylor read for us from Hebrews chapter 9. It speaks there of eternal habit. Christ having obtained eternal redemption and us being the recipients of it. Before we do that, I want to add my word of welcome. If you're listening this morning, we appreciate your presence, and we hope that you'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to think seriously about becoming a child of God. And know that your opportunity is now. And when we reflect upon the price of redemption, the blood of Jesus Christ, that He died for each one of us, He died for you, that will be a compelling reason for you to put your faith in Him, trust and confidence to save you from your past sins, to add you to His church, and to give you a living hope of eternal inheritance. If you're not a Christian, or if you are a Christian, we hope that today, if there's sin that's separating you from your God, that you will fully repent and return to Him. To become a Christian, you need to, with faith, repent of your sin, confess that faith, and be baptized in Christ to obtain the benefit of His blood. And water is prepared, all things are in readiness to help you become a Christian or to make things right if that's needful in your life as a child of God. We, our prayer system, encourage you. We certainly want to extend ourselves to you for that as well. We have studied in the last few weeks about salvation in one of our lessons about it being deliverance from sin's dangers, and we studied a couple of weeks ago about reconciliation, to be brought again into oneness with God, to be at one, and to obtain atonement for our sins, and thus reconciled unto God. We'll study this morning redemption, to remind ourselves that this is another word that God chooses to use to teach us what is involved in our salvation, in our eternal life. Redemption views our salvation from the standpoint of the bondage of sin and the freedom or release from it. But that the liberty costs something. There is a price to be paid to be free from the oppression and bondage of sin, from its guilt and punishment that we've all committed. So let's begin our study there. And we're going to see that there's a cost to be freed and to be ransomed from our sin, and then the effect, of course, that redemption has upon us. We all need redemption. We need to be redeemed from our sin. Because all have sinned. We've all chosen sin in our lives at some point. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3. In fact, the passage that Tyler mentioned this morning at the Lord's table says there's no distinction whether you're Jew or you're Gentile. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all need redemption. John was right in 1 John 5:19 that the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Oh, the world sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. We've chosen to violate God's will. It brings spiritual death, spiritual bondage. The variety of descriptions of it. For sin is a violation of God's law, that's John 3, verse 4. So look at Romans, the 7th chapter with me, just to... here's a passage we don't refer to it often about this idea, but let's remind ourselves that Paul said he was alive once without the law. See, when we were born, we were free from sin, and free from its bondage, and we were alive before God. We were pure. When the commandment came, sin revived and I died. We reach an age in our lives of accountability, moral accountability, where the ability to choose right and wrong became real in our own lives. And
We chose foolish. We chose sin. Sin revived. Sin came alive. And we died. See, in contrast, when sin comes alive, we die. We chose to sin, and it brought death. The commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. Well, sin, making occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it, killed me. Sin killed Paul, like he killed me, like he killed you. It wasn't God's law. It wasn't the fault of God's law. You know, some people want to blame God's law. They want to blame God. If you would make it so hard, then there wouldn't be a problem. As if God could be blamed for their sin. No, Paul said, the commandment is for my life. God's law, God's word is for our life. The sin deceives us. And we choose it. It becomes alive in our lives, and we die. It kills us. It's full grown, it brings forth death. The wages of sin is death. Not only the immediate separation from God, but eternally so if we continue in it. You see, we all need redemption because of the sin that's in our lives, because it has separated us from God. My sin separated me from God. Your sin separated you from God. And without redemption, you would remain in that death, in that separation, and in that bondage. There's an idea here of imprisonment that we want to talk about in terms particularly of redemption. That we are in slaves or in sin's grasp, and we need freedom. We need to be redeemed. The word redeemed means to release, but not just to release. It means to release on receipt of ransom. Now we know what ransom is. We hear that term used sometimes about kidnappers who seize somebody and hold them against their will. Not unlike sin, that we gave our will, that it holds us because we gave our will over to it. We chose it. Nevertheless, it holds us bondage, captive, is prisoner, and to be redeemed means a payment, a ransom is paid that liberates the captive, liberates the prisoner. It is a release that is affected by the payment of a ransom. When you pay the ransom, you go free. So redemption then is that process of a ransom paid and the liberty or liberation that results. The ransom itself is what is given in exchange for another as the price of his redemption. Now, in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 26, the term is used, and we find out what that ransom price is. What price is paid to liberate you from being captured by sin, being in the bondage of sin, and the separation from God, and the death, spiritual death that it causes? What has liberated you? What price was paid? Verse 72 and verse 6 says, Christ Jesus gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus gave himself a ransom. Jesus is the ransom price, then. He is the price that has been paid, the offering that is made to redeem us and to redeem the whole world, to the redemption of the sinner from the death, from the bondage of sin. Now, we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, huh? The blood of the Lamb, the life of the Lamb. This is what we want to grasp and what we have been taught in the Old Testament, what the Jewish people were taught for century upon century in the law of God given to them at Mount Sinai in Leviticus, the 10th chapter, and I'm sorry, the 1st chapter, verses 1 through 4. The Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, Speak to the children of Israel. Say to them, When any one of you bring an offering to the Lord, You shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, of the flock. If your offering is a burnt offering of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. And he's talking here about free will burnt offering. The individual is to bring it to the tent of the tabernacle, and the priest would offer it for him. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. So the animal would be on his behalf. God would accept it on his behalf to atone for him. Of course, we understand and know, don't we, that that animal life, animal blood, remember the blood makes atonement by reason of the life,
Leviticus 17:11.
Not just that you cut the animal and pour a little blood out, you take its life. It wasn't that a spear was stuck in the body of the dead Jesus and blood came out. It was that he gave his life. Remember when he was pierced with the spear, he was already dead. By the way. You see, it wasn't about just the fluid in the veins, it was about the life that was given. The life of an animal can never redeem a sinner from his sin. But it was a shadow to teach the principle that the payment price that it was going to require to redeem or atone for sin and redeem the sinner from sin, because it's going to be lifeblood. It's going to be a life that's going to be taken. Hebrews 10:1-4 says the law having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. Well, the annual offering on the Day of Atonement that was offered not only for the high priest, but for all the nation of Israel, that was in addition to the daily morning and evening sacrifices for the nation, and the Sabbath sacrifices, and the monthly sacrifices, and then the free will offerings. It was a bloody system to teach the taking of life for the atoning of sin. But it could never make those who approach perfect. It was on their behalf, Leviticus 1. It was on their behalf, but it could never make them perfect. For them would they have not ceased to be offered? If it completed atonement, it was a complete ransom and redemption resulting, ransom price and redemption resulting, there wouldn't have to be any more. For the worshiper, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sin. Then those sacrifices are a reminder of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. That is, it is not possible that the life of an animal could take away the death of sin, take away the guilt of sin, take away what sin has done to the sin. So it was a shadow. By the way, couldn't pay enough money either to redeem a sinner from the sin. 1 Peter 1 said, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Silver and gold doesn't give it a ransom price. Unlike a kidnapper who would feed someone and demand a ransom of money, you couldn't pay enough money to redeem a single sinner from his sin. Reminds me, by the way, reminds me of Hosea. Turn over to, I think it's in Hosea, chapter 6. No, not Hosea. I'm thinking about Micah, I guess. That's fair. I had a thought come to my mind about this. Not in my notes, but it's in Micah. Micah chapter 6 and verse 6. Look what Micah says there. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with a calf a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I bring my firstborn for my transgression,
the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? What shall I bring that will be sufficient and adequate for my sin to be atoned, for a ransom for my sin? Shall I bring my firstborn child? Remember, the law had a mechanism that the firstborn was given to God. That didn't accomplish it either. It couldn't buy you redemption. Animal blood couldn't wash away the sin. The firstborn wasn't a sufficient ransom either. He goes on to say God has shown him what was good and what he requires is to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. But there's going to have to be something that will enable me to walk with God, because sin has separated me from God. How am I going to be able to walk with God when there's sin in my life? And I can't give an animal to wash it away. I can't give my firstborn. That's not even enough. What's it going to take? Can't buy it. Can't buy the right to walk with God. What's it going to take? Well, it's going to take the life of the Son of God. Jesus gave His life, His blood, as the ransom price for sin. Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for men. He came to serve. The service of the Son of God was to become a ransom for sin, to become an offering for my sin and yours. And so when John the Baptizer saw Jesus coming to him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now there will be a ransom price that's going to be offered, going to be paid, if you please, sufficient for the removal of the bondage of sin, to release us from its captivity, to liberate us and free us from its death and its guilt and its eternal death. So the Apostle Paul said, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace." In Him we have redemption. It's through His blood. It's through the life that was given on the cross. Colossians 1:14 is the same thing. Look at Hebrews 10 with me in this respect. In Hebrews the 10th chapter, I know this is basic information, but it is compelling because it calls upon you and me to acknowledge the reality of sin in our lives. Once realizing the reality of sin, we must acknowledge what it has done to us. Killed us. It captured us. Behold us. Thirdly, we must acknowledge that we cannot free ourselves. And then, if we're earnest in that professed understanding, it compels us to look to God. Because we can't accomplish the freedom on our own. It compels us to look to Him. And God has said, "I will provide a ransom. I will provide that which is needed to redeem you, to liberate you from the bondage of sin." He does that by sending His Son. And so in Hebrews 10, 5 through 10, it's depicted as God now providing a body for Jesus, the Christ, offering on our behalf. Remember, He just said in verses 1 through 10 that the life of an animal can never take away sin. It's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats can take away sin. Therefore, when He came into the world, He said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me." Why did He prepare His body? "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have no pleasure. That is, the animal sacrifices would not redeem the sinner." And so in that respect, He had no pleasure in them. He did not, they weren't adequate. "Then I said," this is Messiah speaking, the Christ speaking, "Then I said, Behold, I have come in the volume of the book written of me, to do your will, O God. I have come to do your will, O God." Now the Hebrew writer says, previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings to sin, you did not desire, nor have pleasure in them, which is not which you offer according to the law. And then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. The writer is in a context of demonstrating that we're under the new covenant, not the old. The old couldn't take away sin. And now watch verse 10. By that will, by the will of the Father, by the will of God, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He prepared in the body. Why? So he could be an offering for sin. So he could be the Lamb of God. So that he could be the pure, the innocent one, the one without sin. That's who is the very Son of God, the offering now, a ransom, if you please, a ransom price paid to release sinners from their sin. And so, as Isaiah 53:6, again, which Tyler read at the table this morning, it is that he laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let's go back to 1 Peter 1 and verse 19. There Peter said, but you are redeemed not with corrupt and perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood that is without spot and without blemish. The blood of the Son. The word precious there is the word honor. In fact, it's the same word that's used in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. It says, husbands, you're to give honor to your wife. She is precious. And you're to treat her with preciousness and honor. We have been redeemed with precious blood. Highly esteemed. Valuable. Of great price. See, precious blood of the Lamb. Without spot, without blemish. Blood of Christ. That's what we're doing. Now, our reading this morning is from Hebrews 9. And note that passage, what he says in verse 12, when Jesus entered heaven itself, the most holy place, he did so not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. So his blood, his life, once for all given, is presented to God in heaven itself for eternal redemption. He, by that blood, obtained eternal redemption on our behalf, for us. Here is the purpose fulfilled for why Jesus offered his body. Why a body was made for him. That is why he came in the flesh. To serve and to be a ransom. Again, in Matthew 20:28. Now verse 15 says that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. The word inheritance there is the same word translated redemption in verse 12. We are called by the gospel to obtain eternal redemption. The fact that Jesus died still doesn't mean that I've obtained it. The ransom price has been paid, but the sinner is still in sin until the sinner decides he wants to be redeemed. Until he's willing to put his faith in the one who is the ransom for his sin. The one who will liberate him. Otherwise, the fact that he obtained eternal redemption, presenting himself to God in heaven, if it were otherwise, then everybody would be saved. But there's not universal redemption because you see the sinner must decide to obtain the benefit of the ransom that's been paid. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. It is by his blood that we are redeemed unto God. Revelation 5:9 says, "You have that you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood." Remember Paul said he was alive once before sin came? He was with God. When we're infants, when we're small children, we're with God. then we choose sin and we go away from God. We're in bondage to sin. We're dead. Now, through the blood of Jesus, he said, Jesus, you were slain. The Lamb of God here that is depicted. You were slain and redeemed us to God. So, redemption is bringing to God.
Not to redeem us so that we can just live as a slave. Remember Micah? To walk humbly with our God. Micah's plea was to be able to walk humbly with God. God's purpose is so that we can walk humbly with Him, do justice, love righteousness, and walk humbly with our God. And that is the only way to get finished. And the only way that can be removed is the ransom of the slave. It liberates us from the time. Never to lose blood of the Son of God, the life of Jesus. Talk for a minute then about the blessings of the redemption. You see, the blessing, the fact that we are redeemed, first of all, remember it is in Christ Jesus. And that's what we've been depicting in those verses. It's in His blood, through His blood. Romans 3:24 said, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption is in Christ. Now, as a result, we've got to be in Christ if we're going to be redeemed at all. You see, the fact that He died is the redemption has been obtained, but not in our case, actually or individually, until we're baptized into the death. Until we reach the blood that is the purchase price, that is the ransom paid to redeem us. And so we're baptized into His death. Well, that time in Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:27, called in Jesus. It's the redemption of sin. In Jesus, by His blood that we have forgiven for sin. Ephesians 1:7. It is in Christ that we're set free from sin. Look at Romans 6:22, and he'll go on to say, but now having been set free from sin, when were you set free from sin? When were you? Well, when the ransom price was accepted. Well, when the ransom price was accepted, Christ offered His blood, gave Himself as the ransom when He entered the most holy place. As high priest, He offers Himself as that sacrifice for the sins of the world, once for all. So when is the redemption applied to you? When you are baptized into His death. Romans 6:3. When you, therefore, obtain by His blood the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7. That forgiveness is when we're baptized in Christ. Remission of sins. Acts 2:38. Having been set free from sin, you see, that's the blessing. Freedom from sin. Before you're bound in it. Now you've been ransomed. Now you've been liberated. Because of the blood of Jesus. Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name. You see, the cleansing power, the freeing power, is the blood of Jesus. The Lord asked the church daily those who are saved, Acts 2:27. And remember that in Acts 20:28, the apostle preaches to the elders of the church of Ephesus, and he says, attend to such a God that He purchased with His own blood. The church is purchased with His blood. The ransom price. Purchased. That makes it so essential, doesn't it? Because the church is comprised of the redeemed. The church is made up of those who are actually redeemed from their sin. The ransom price has actually been accepted with the ransom price. Who is the ransom price? Have repented, have been baptized into His death, and so added to the body of the redeemed. If we're outside of Christ, we're not redeemed. In Him we are. We're added to His church. That's the blessing of redemption, is we are among those who are purchased by His blood. Titus 2:14 says that, speaking of redemption, that we are purified. And thus are to be zealous for good works. Titus 2,
says, gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own people. So he redeemed us from every lawless deed, redeemed us from every sin. That's what lawless deeds are. Sin is lawless deeds. And purified for himself his own special people. So we belong to Christ. We're his own special people. We're purified because of the redemption of Jesus. Here the blessing. Forgiveness of sin, set free from sin, added to the church, purified to belong to Jesus Christ. Like all blessings, there are obligations.
Three fundamental obligations, very quickly, because they're each connected to redemption in the Scriptures. One is to glorify God in our body. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have from God, and you're not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit with your God." You were bought at a price. The ransom price that bought us, that purchased us out of sin, is the very life of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. As a result, he says you're not your own. You don't belong to yourself. Glorify God in your body. Reminds us of one I don't have on the chart, but came to me. They're sitting there worshiping in song a moment ago before I saw them. 1 Peter 2 and actually bring more supper. 1 Peter 2:24. "Who has set forth our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness." Here's our obligation, because we've been ransomed by the blood of Jesus, is to live for righteousness. That means we glorify him in our body. The life that we live in our body is to be in his glory. It's to be under righteousness. 1 Peter 4:1-2 says that our mind, that we're going to have the mind of Christ, and so we're feast from sin. Our body is the use of our body. It either reflects Christ to the world, or it reflects the world to the world. And how we conduct ourselves, down to what we do with our body, in every respect, we either reflect Jesus or we reflect the world. Who are you reflecting? Who are you reflecting? The fact that we've been redeemed means that we are to show Christ and glorify, honor him, lift him up in our body. Not have an attitude that says, "Well, I'm a Christian, but I can give my body whatever I want." No, it's not your body. Jesus, he bought it. He made it. And he's redeemed you from sin. Now you're supposed to use your body to honor him. Glorify him, not yourself. So if we fail to do that, then do we not, at least to that degree, fail to recognize the redemption that we have? Glorifying in your body. Belongs to God. Let us try to be better to come to service to men. This is our obligation. You see, we are now the slaves of God. I don't know if you know about talk about slavery that way, but we are slaves to God, bond servants to Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 7:23. It says, "You were bought at a price." And here's the Son of God, the blood of the Son, the blood of the Lamb, has bought us, redeemed us, ransomed us. "Do not become slaves of men. Rather, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called." Do not become subservient to men. That's the point. Is don't serve men before and rather than Jesus. You were bought at a price. You're his slave. Don't become a slave of man. We have a choice in our lives every day. Will we serve Jesus or serve him? The fact that he redeemed us is the compelling reason for us to meet our responsibility to serve him instead of men. That is, choose him rather than men. It's notable, Jesus said the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for him.
change first. Our life now is to be one that serves Jesus. But if I choose rather to serve men in ways that violate my service to Jesus, of course that's called sin, then I'm no longer meeting the obligation of redemption. No longer am I living consistently with the Christ by which I've been bought. We're bought at a price, to not become slaves to men. Some have corrupted this passage. That's what it's actually teaching us. To remain with God. You see, remain with God. Because when you are redeemed, you're brought back, you're redeemed to God. By the blood. Romans 5, Revelation 5, 9. Redeemed us to God. So remain with God. Don't become a slave of men that separates you from God. We've been cleansed, we've been enlivened to serve God. We cannot serve two masters. Jesus said a servant cannot serve two masters in 16:13. We're his servants to serve him. We have a responsibility to be zealous for good works because we've been redeemed, Titus 2:14. We're his special people, and we'll be zealous for good works that God has revealed for us. We'll make one other quick application for each other, and that is whether we need to continue to preach the gospel of redemption. We need to be preaching about sin, what it does to us, how to be free from it, and the life we live because of that redemption. There are so many other things that are being preached, but note that the Bible says we need to identify, rebuke, and correct sin. That's preaching the gospel of redemption. Preach the word, identify the sin, rebuke the sin, correct the sin. Preach redemption in Christ Jesus. Tell sinners how to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hebrews 1:7-9. Gotta preach the plan of salvation. You've got to preach to people about being lost. How to be saved. How to be liberated from sin's captivity. You've got to preach the exhortation to the church, to the redeemed ones, to remain faithful. To be faithful. Look, that passage in Revelation 5:9 goes on in verse 10 to say, "You have made us kings and priests of God, and we reign on the earth." We must reign in righteousness because we will not reign in sin and death. We must reign with God, live with God, and live unto righteousness. We must preach, when we preach redemption in Christ, we're preaching that we remain faithful and true to Him and His servants in all areas of our lives. There are many false gospels that are being preached in the name of redemption, but they're false redemption. What is the social gospel? Wes gave me a card this morning. Classic example. Save this day. First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, and the Belgian Association of Mothers invite you to King Mountain and Meridian Neighborhood Sunday, August 11th. I have pictures of them in the area, Muslims, and I'm not going to use the word Christian because they're not with Jesus. The disciples of the First Christian Church. It's a social gospel. Come and share what it is that you love about living in this area. Social gospel. All that. That's what churches preach these days. Food, fun, frivolity. What makes you happy in the moment? The social gospel is not the gospel of redemption. Does it redeem you from sin? You know there's a patriotic gospel? There's some who wrap themselves up in the American flag as if you can't really be a Christian unless you're American. You need to be careful about that. We're supposed to honor those who are in civil authority. We have that responsibility, Romans 13. We need to be careful, though.
the patriotic gospel. It's not the redeeming gospel. Some Christians tend to be more interested in promoting America than they are promoting the gospel of Jesus. Governments come and go. Countries come and go. Gospel endures. We preach a patriotic gospel. Why do you preach the wrong one? I'm not against patriotism. Get my point. Who was chosen first? The gospel of self-esteem, self-worth, self-improvement, all of them are self-defined gospels. How does that redeem the soul from sin? It doesn't. It doesn't redeem you at all. The faith-only gospel, it won't redeem you. The grace-only gospel, you're still in the bondage of sin. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. What about the merit gospel? You know, the meritorious works of the saints need to be applied to you so you can have redemption. No. Catholicism preaches one, evangelicalism preaches the other, Protestantism is in there, and none of it's out of the Bible. So how are they redeemed? They're still not redeemed. Still in the bondage of sin. Every gospel is the gospel of men. They're not redeemed from sin. The gospel that redeems us is the gospel confined to the pages of redemption. We are redeemed in Christ Jesus. God be thanked. God be praised for the true gift of redemption that's in His Son, that's in the blood of His Son. John, for whom He was redeemed, how I love to proclaim. Redeemed, that's what it was. Redeemed by His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Let us proclaim. Let us live. Let us realize there is no other redemption than His blood and the Lamb of God, Jesus the Christ. If you're not a Christian, you need to have that blood applied. You need to be redeemed this morning. Repent and be baptized and be saved from your sins. You have liberty in Christ. Christian, if you have not been honoring, glorifying Him, living for righteousness, repent. Live as the redeemed. Come back to faithfulness, to your redeemer. Won't you come, Holy Family?